welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz. Mitch Fortner with me today. Riding shotgun for this thing. We will have you up until 6 o'clock. Today on the show, Gene Taylor calling in at 5:20. Want to ask him about what he's looking for in the baseball hire. Is there any added pressure, being that it is his first hire? First chance to make an impression as far as that is concerned. So we'll have that for you. I need to call out Denny Matthews here in just a moment, and I realize the gravity of what I am doing. We'll also be talking about the Pac-12 in trouble. It is the offseason for college football, and at this point, when there's no college football, no college basketball, you tend to get all these conference realignment sort of articles, and Dennis Dodd dropped a bombshell on the Pac-12 yesterday, so what does that mean now for the Big 12? We also, next segment, are going to try and solve the Sandstorm problem by coming up with a better new song for Sandstorm. And I will admit off the top here that it was stolen from Kellis Robinette's Q&A from this past week. I just got around to reading it today, and I thought it was a wonderful idea and a wonderful topic. And shout out to Scott Wildcat on Twitter, who asked the question and has been soliciting responses on this. So that's the agenda today. You know how to get in touch with us, the game KMAN, 537-1350, or you can text us, the text line number 594-57. If you're not signed up, text KMAN to 594-57 and get in touch with us that way. Denny Matthews is a broadcasting legend. It's not often that I would do this, but I had put my faith in him today because when Denny comes out and calls his shot, you tend to listen. I have all the respect in the world for Denny Matthews, but the Royals lose 5-3 to Tampa Bay. And this is what Denny Matthews said when the Rays failed to score in the top of the seventh.
And you know what happens when you have a lead and you don't extend it?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a feeling if Tampa Bay does not score here, Royals are going to come back and win it.
Tampa Bay did not score there. The Royals did not come back and win it. I'm disappointed. Denny is not the kind of guy to go out there and put himself out on a limb in a situation like that. And Mike Moustakas winds up striking out. The Royals barely put up a fight in the bottom of the ninth.
Denny did that two or three weeks ago. I can't remember who it was against, but it was a similar situation where there was two outs and the bases were loaded. And it was at the tail end of a start for somebody. I don't know. I obviously keep track of all this. And Denny said, I tell you what, if Salvaso doesn't score here, I think the Royals are coming back. It didn't happen.
You know, I hate to do it, but you have so much faith in Denny. I originally pulled that because I thought he was going to be right, and I wanted to anoint him for being the genius that he is and the baseball wizard that he is at this point in his career, but instead we have to do the opposite. I will continue to faithfully listen to Denny Matthews, but that did deserve repeating today that did not come to fruition.
Well, and history has told you this season, the Royals, if they're in a two-run hole and you got two innings left, it's probably not going to happen. So yeah, maybe Denny fishing for listeners at that point to stick around? I don't know.
Well, it sort of worked on me.
Yeah.
I guess if you had the 2015 Royals, that would have made a lot of sense, especially if it was that playoff run. But I digress. What I really want to talk about today is an article written by Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports about the Pac-12. And he is foreshadowing some trouble that is happening right now within the league. Now, I think we all have realized the Pac-12 is not in a great position necessarily right now. But the detailed struggles in this article really make it seem like there is quite a bit of friction going on in the Pac-12. There's a lot of reasons for this, and he opens up with an anecdote about, and this is actually pretty unbelievable, an anecdote about Stanford-Washington last year, one of the biggest games in the Pac-12. It got ushered off to FS2 and was delayed by 15 minutes because a NASCAR truck race was on FS1 and it was going too long. The Lucas Oil 150, the historic Lucas Oil 150 NASCAR truck race, was bumping one of the Pac-12's biggest games. And the Pac-12 was happy after the fact because they got an assurance that in the future, those conflicts will be resolved by pushing the games to Fox Business Channel. I don't know where to find Fox Business Channel anywhere. Not that I know how to find FS2 either. They claim that Fox Business Channel has like 80 million viewers or something like that. I have no idea where to find that. And that sounds terrible when that's the answer. You're going to go to Fox Business Channel. Bigger picture here, they have problems with the visibility of their games. Chris Peterson last year was fighting with ESPN and Kirk Herbstreit about, you know, how little coverage they get in these games starting late. And Kirk Herbstreit basically said, shut up and be happy we have them on TV at all. And then they went on to make fun of Washington's non-conference schedule on the next Kirk Herbstreit broadcast with actual cupcakes representing their non-con opponents.
Fox Business is actually a genius idea to put a game on if it's 1 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon, because that's the channel everybody has on in like a bank, like a car insurance agent.
Really?
That's the channel people have on.
I have never watched Fox Business Channel in my life. 59457, the game KMAN. If you have ever watched Fox Business Channel once in your life, just tell me, because I don't believe that anybody has. But that's far from the only issue here. Their struggles also turn into on the field, on the court issues. They had a 1-8 bowl record, and look, I'm by far not a person that is going to say that bowl records really mean all that much. Bowl games are generally meaningless, excuse me, at least for some teams, and so it's so hard to take anything from them because what is the motivation for one team for playing in this meaningless exhibition game, etc. But they also have the longest national championship drought of a Power 5 conference, even worse than the Big 12. And all of their schools were out of the NCAA tournament before the second round. And when you're talking about basketball, not only did Arizona, the most high-profile program there, get upset, but they're now under severe FBI scrutiny. So things aren't great on or off the field right now for the Pac-12 from that standpoint. But the finances really seems to be the biggest crux of this issue. $2.5 million is all that the schools make from the Pac-12 network. And the words that are being used to describe the Pac-12 network in here, basically just a failure. And it has left the Pac-12 lagging behind every other Power 5 conference in terms of annual revenue. Pac-12 schools right now are getting about $30 million in annual revenue, and that number is not going up that much. And it is basically, the Pac-12 is trying to spin it as, okay, it was a record high in terms of the gross amount of money that we made, but what they're not telling you is that every other league is expanding by leaps and bounds, and the gap is widening. So the Big 12, for instance, went up to $34 million this past year. It was a league high for the Big 12, but it was an 18% increase. I forget the specific number. I don't have it written down right in front of me, but it was somewhere in the neighborhood of, oh, there it is, $57 million. So an 18% increase means the Big 12 made $57 million more dollars in 2017 than they did in 2016. And this is not including the SEC, which made a whopping $41 million. So the gap between the Pac-12 and the SEC, the haves and the have-nots right now in college sports world, is $11 million, and the gap is growing. Larry Scott does not help all this. The commissioner of the Pac-12, who is the highest-paid commissioner in all of college athletics, he was recently quoted as saying, quote, our schools do perhaps more with less. How does that make the rest of the league feel? That makes you feel small time, and that is not the message that you want your leader conveying. So there are pretty widespread problems here for the Pac-12. I'm not saying that from this article I think the Pac-12 is going to dissolve immediately. I don't think their failure is necessarily imminent, but there are cracks. David Ubben described it as cracks. And that's what the Big 12 was always being hit with for so long. It was the Big 12 is the league with all these cracks. Everyone's predicting the demise of the Big 12. The Big 12 was the punching bag. And what I think you're seeing now is that the Pac-12 is starting to take on some of that mantle from the Big 12. The Big 12 will not have to worry quite as much now about being the punching bag in the league that everybody thinks is falling apart. Now the Pac-12 is there to take some of that pressure off and ease things for the Big 12. Things have changed a lot for the Big 12 in the span of about 2 years, ever since that fiasco of looking into expansion and then not adding anybody when the Big 12 was maybe at its height of being made fun of at that point in time. I'll get into more some of the changes here and why this can be very beneficial for the Big 12 and what the really high apple pie in the sky hopes would look like for the Big 12 if the Pac-12 really is in this much trouble. We'll have more on that at 5:10. Gene Taylor is coming on the show at 5:20. When we come back, what should be the new sandstorm? You're listening to The Game. I'll supplement that game sports update here with a shout-out to K-State for getting it done at Wichita State last night. Complete game for Justin Heskett, who has struggled a lot this year, not been the year that he wanted. But that was a hell of a performance last night. Didn't allow a run after the first inning. And K-State now just took 3 of 4 from KU and Wichita State in the span of 5 days. And one thing Brad Hill can leave with his head held very high about is how he performed against the in-state rivals. Now 20-10 against Wichita State, 29-19 against Kansas. So overall, lead by math is correct here, 49-29 against Wichita State and Kansas. He dominated the state in his time here in Manhattan. Gene Taylor is going to be on at 5:20. I want to ask him about what he's looking for in the new baseball hire. Is there any pressure being the fact that this would be his first major hire at K-State? So looking forward to that. I also want to continue this conversation here today that we're about to start. Again, I will shout out Kellis Robinette, Scott Wildcat. They were the first to bring this topic to my attention. Kellis Robinette's latest Q&A, which I just got around to reading today. But I felt like this was even more apropos because last night I'm watching the Cavs-Celtics game. And late in that game, J.R. Smith, I don't know if you saw any of this, Mitch. Were you watching any of the Cavs-Celtics?
No.
Okay. So late in the game, J.R. Smith does the old guy's going up for a dunk and he just shoves him in the back to prevent it from happening and picks up a flagrant foul. Marcus Smart was about to come to blows with him. And the Boston crowd had the loudest, most unified chant I feel like I've almost ever heard on TV. And the chant was, F-U-J-R, but they were saying the actual word. And it was coming across clear as day on TV. I'm not one to sit here and complain about these things. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't get offended by those at all. I'm not a huge fan of the Sandstorm chant at K-State, mainly just because it reeks of an inferiority complex. But it's not the words that typically get me. And J.R. Smith deserved that chant at that point in time in the game, and he even got a chuckle out of it. But on that topic, Scott Wildcamp posed the question to Kellis Robinette, what should replace Sandstorm if Sandstorm really is not coming back? And I can tell you, I do not think Sandstorm is going to be coming back. So what's a new song that you can float out there that will not wind up in some sort of obscene chant? The students are creative. There may be no real answer because they may find a way to do it to just about anything. Case in point, back in my day, when I was in school at K-State from 2007 to 2011, one of my favorite parts of the game was right before tip-off, they would play the, I think it's just like a Jock Jam song, right? Let's Get Ready to Rumble. And I used to love that. It got me very pumped up. But once you hit a certain point here, and I'm going to try and filibuster until it hits this point, I will give you the chant that the students started that got this pulled away. K-S-U-M-F Wildcats. That got it taken away, and it was a real shame. Now, I think it's come back a little bit. Haven't they played it some?
They've played it actually quite a bit at women's games.
Okay, and nobody...
No, it's gone well.
They see, what they did is they effectively cycled out the song to the point now where nobody knows it. The students now don't know any better. They haven't right. come up with it. They're not the old students of my era that did that. And that was always really disappointing to me that happened. We've put together a number of suggestions here for what should be potentially the new Sandstorm song. Tweet them to us at the Game KMAN or text us 59457. if you have ideas, a pump-up song to replace Sandstorm. So you're talking about the song that is going to play when the other team is crumbling, momentum for K-State, an immediate timeout, or someone has to burn a timeout, and you're trying to maintain that crowd energy. In all seriousness, this is fairly important, right? You want to be able to fuel the crowd. And
you need to have that song.
Yeah, continue to feed the energy. Now, what they had been doing was, Kellis was calling it the Mortal Kombat theme. We listened back to the Mortal Kombat theme. It's not quite that. Just sounds like another track off the old Jock Jams 98. And it's okay. It's okay. But I don't think it is the song. I'm going to start here with what the suggestion was from Scott Wildcat, and seems to have picked up some momentum on Twitter, and that is this classic from Cascada, Every Time We Touch. See, if you're just playing the instrumental part, not the actual singing part, but this, like, breakdown, can't you feel it? It's a fist pumping. Then the drop. You don't like it.
Well, here's the deal. If the goal here is to put a halt to the profane chants, you need a song with lyrics.
What are you going to... How does anything sync up there? How does anything sync up there to put in some sort of chant?
They'll find a way.
I mean, I'm with you. The students... I'm always on that side. Like, you take one thing away, the students will continue to find ways. But I actually thought, listening to that, this doesn't seem like it has enough of a flow for any sort of chant to really start. We've got a bunch of suggestions. I actually think one of them that Mitch brought to the table might be the winner, might be my favorite. We'll give you some time to send in your suggestions. What should be the new Sandstorm? The game KMAN, 59457. And at 540, we will reveal the rest of our potential choices. Gene Taylor coming on at 5:20. Ask him about the upcoming baseball hire and what he thinks about the Supreme Court decision that essentially legalizes sports betting. But when we come back, how the Big 12 can take advantage of these Pac-12 issues here on the game. Back for a full hour or two of the game. First time that's happened in a little while. John and Mitch are with you here today. Gene Taylor joins us at 5:20. Want to ask him about the new baseball hire. Is there any pressure, being that it's his first hire here at K-State? And what does he think about the ruling from the Supreme Court that is going to open the door to sports gambling throughout the country? We started the discussion, but we want to continue it. Tweet us at the game KMAN or text us 59457. What should be the Sandstorm replacement song? I love this topic, as you might guess. We have more suggestions to give to you at 5:40. But we start here where we began a shortened first hour of the show, which is the Dennis Dodd article that was posted yesterday about the struggles that the Pac-12 is having now, and basically how it is kind of taking the spot of the Big 12 in terms of being the punching bag from the Power 5 conferences, the one that seems to be the least stable. A quick summation of the main points that the article makes, there are just punctures everywhere for the Pac-12. They're having their issues all across the board. Their competitiveness on a national scale has not been good. Longest national championship drought of a Power 5 conference in football. All their schools were out of the NCAA tournament before the second round. They had a 1-8 bowl record. And their highest-profile basketball program, Arizona, is under severe FBI scrutiny. The Pac-12 network has been a failure for the most part, $2.5 million apiece from that per every school. Small potatoes compared to the Big Ten network and the SEC network. Pac-12 schools getting just $30 million in annual revenue. That's four behind the Big 12 and climbing. And it's 11 behind the SEC and climbing. And Larry Scott is seen as sort of a buffoon, their commissioner at this point, who, by the way, is the highest paid commissioner of everybody in college football. And yet he's coming out here saying, quote, our schools do perhaps more with less. Not exactly invoking a lot of confidence from the rest of the league. And there are a lot of quotes. You can find a lot of quotes interspersed throughout that article that we will, I should have done this first. We'll get it retweeted from my account, from the game account, if you want to do some homework here while listening along with the show and actually read the article. But the article is filled with quotes of different athletic directors from different schools complaining about things. And maybe the funniest thing is that they've had so much trouble getting exposure on TV. There is the story about one of their biggest games of the year, Stanford-Washington, getting bumped because of a NASCAR Truck Series race, and it got to FS2. The solution now is that they were promised it'll be on Fox Business. Again, if anybody has ever watched Fox Business Channel, feel free to let me know, because I don't believe that anybody has. And that seems like a ridiculous solution to what is going on. They also self-inflicted some wounds as far as scheduling last year. They had four Pac-12 teams playing Friday night road games just 6 days after playing a Saturday night road game. All four teams lost, and the biggest of those was USC getting ambushed at Washington State, losing in September. And that loss basically kept USC out of the college football playoff. It's another point the article makes, too, that USC did not get serious consideration into the playoff when perhaps they should have received some more, and the Pac-12 just doesn't have a reputation where that's going to happen at this point in time. So I think there's two things here for the Big 12. One that impacts them in the short term, one that impacts them in the long term. I'll admit here off the top of this before I make point number one that I got called out by a listener fairly recently, I don't remember when it was, for taking that woe is me sort of attitude with K-State and saying, hey, in this scenario, you want to try and keep yourself from getting to the Mountain West. And that's because that stigma is still there. You still have, you know, like these emotional scars from all the turmoil and trauma that the Big 12 went through, and thinking that that's a realistic possibility that could happen. The narrative has shifted. Things are changing. And the Big 12 no longer seems to be in the worst spot of all these conferences. So I will admit, I deserved to be called out there. And this article from Dennis Dodd just put together a list of all the reasons why the Pac-10 is, or Pac-12 is splintering so much, and it has made me realize even more, okay, there are some really legitimate things here that spell some issues for the Pac-12. So what's happened here? The Big 12 was the kid on the playground being bullied. Bullying is really what it felt like through a lot of that, from Dan Beebe on up through 2016, when there was the disaster of a search into conference realignment that wound up with nobody being added and everybody making fun of the Big 12. Kids have been picking on the Big 12 for a while. Well, what's happened now with the Pac-12? A weird new kid showed up. And if you're the one being picked on, you really, it's not like you have to be first. You don't have to be a cool kid, but you just want to blend in to where you're not the one being picked on anymore. You want some other kid to be there and be the target. And that is now what seems to be happening with the Pac-12. The Pac-12, weird new kid came in and all of a sudden distracted the bullies. The bullies' attention is now much more on the Pac-12. You've moved a step up the ladder, and in a desperate fight for survival for a lot of these teams, you know, there are some in the Big 12 that would be fine no matter what, obviously. But for the teams that are really wondering about their future, that's huge. That's huge. You don't need to be the SEC. You need to not be the conference that everybody perceives as falling apart. And that helps out the Big 12 a lot. That can create some positive momentum. It can remove some of that stigma that's been there in people's minds about the Big 12. And it also opens up the door for big picture point number two that might help the Big 12 down the road. This is so stereotypical summer radio, but expansion. Back in 2011, as far back as 2011, the Arizona schools were being mentioned as possible links to the Big 12. Maybe the Big 12 would go get Arizona and Arizona State out of the Pac-12. David Ubben, who now is writing for a Texas football magazine, used to be the Big 12 blogger at ESPN and is going to be writing for The Athletic, I believe, coming up here pretty soon. He made that point right away and said the Big 12 should absolutely pursue Arizona and Arizona State because things are so bad right now in the Pac-12, and this would be a good way to make your next move. That's not BYU, Houston, UCF. That's clearly a step up to get established schools like Arizona and Arizona State. And if I'm the Big 12, I'm not holding my breath that it'll wind up happening anytime soon, but you absolutely, whatever you can do to try and make yourself appealing to schools like Arizona and Arizona State, you 100,000% should be doing that right now. Because that move would really, one, not only give you some extra oomph with more legitimate Power 5 schools, but that may be the undoing of the Pac-12. And then they may be the league that splinters off, and all of a sudden you're going to be pretty stable in being one of the new Power 4 conferences.
The only way I look at it as a good idea to add Arizona schools to the Big 12 is K-State's already making an annual trip to Arizona every few years anyway, so might as well make it every other year or every year to Tempe or wherever.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I think one of the pushbacks that you would get from people who disagree with this, which I'm just guessing here, but I would think the majority of Big 12 fans would say, yes, let's go do that. The travel could be an issue.
Well, they're already going to Morgantown, which is already an issue in its own right.
Exactly.
For teams to travel to Morgantown, you got to fly into Pittsburgh and then bus. Unless you're a small enough team, you could take a smaller plane and go to the Morgantown airport. But Arizona, at least with Phoenix is pretty close to both Arizona State and Arizona. It's within driving distance. It's not that far. And it's a warmer destination. It'd be easier to go down there and play a November or December game. When it comes to basketball, heck, if Arizona doesn't get too slashed up in this investigation by the FBI, hey, that's another threat to dethrone Kansas.
Well, yes, there's a lot of good things that can happen from a competitive standpoint. What you hit on first there is exactly why it's ridiculous to me to be like, well, then you're entering another time zone and you're going from Morgantown to here. Who cares, man? West Virginia's already in this conference. It doesn't make any sense. Conference realignment all across the board does not make any sense, but we're already down that road, and this is now a game about survival. Would it put West Virginia in a difficult spot? Sure. If they want to walk, they can walk. If you have Arizona and Arizona State, that's still a net positive. And West Virginia would be in a fairly desperate situation themselves. I'm not sure that they're going to just walk on that. And if it's tough for West Virginia, man, that's how it goes. Tough luck. This conference realignment world is hard knocks. It is not fair. And we're already so far down this illogical road of splitting up the conferences and adding people that don't make sense and all these different time zones. At this point, you're in survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, you're going to make some concessions on some normal comforts. One of those comforts being, all right, same time zone, easy travel. That's out the window. It's unrealistic to think that that is an expectation that you can have. So, to me, zero problem at all with having to deal with some of the time issues that would come with that and travel issues.
Yeah, but, I mean, look at it football-wise now. You got your championship game now. You're the Big 12, and you with 10 teams, you're allowed to now have a championship game. What would now be the point of adding a couple more schools? Wasn't that the original point, was to get that championship game back?
Long-term stability. I mean, that's it. It's long-term stability. If you add Arizona and Arizona State, you stabilize your conference, and you make another one weaker. And again, cutthroat.
Until somebody else decides to leave the Big 12.
At that point, I don't know that there's – you're going to have teams more willing to stay. It makes them more stable again and weakens the Pac-12. All of a sudden, if things start dissolving into just four leagues, you're one of the four leagues, you're good. You're good. You feel much better about it. So I'm all for it. More Sandstorm suggestions, tweet them to us at the game KMAN. Or 59457, you can text them to us. What should take the place of Sandstorm? Gene Taylor joins us next. Back here on the game, John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you today. We will get you Can't Be Serious before we are done. Continue tweeting in your suggestions for a song to replace Sandstorm. I think Mitch and I have gotten a couple chuckles out of some of the responses so far. The game KMAN, 59457, the text line. You can continue bringing those on, and we will give you some of our choices at 540. But right now I have Gene Taylor with us here on the show, K-State Athletic Director, kind enough to join us. Gene, appreciate the time as always. As far as baseball is concerned, how nice has it been to see the way things have gone since Brad's announcement? Brad Hill announces he's going to step down at the end of the year, and K-State takes 3 of 4 from Wichita State and Kansas.
you know, it's just a testament to the coaches and those kids to kind of rally around each other and finish the year strong. Very, very proud of them, the way they battled this past weekend against Kansas, and then, you know, go to Wichita last night and get another win. It just says a lot about the kids and the coaches that, you know, they're going to finish strong and no matter what the situation. So I'm very, very pleased with how they're finishing the year.
Was this something, Brad Hill's decision, that is, that he came to you with? How did you guys wind up at that point where that ends up being the decision?
Yeah, after the Oklahoma series, we got together and just kind of wanted to see where he was. And he kind of said, you know, Gene, I was at the, you know, our Power Cat Choice Awards, and, you know, they're, all these teams are doing really well, and we're not. And he said, I just kind of came to the conclusion that maybe it was time that we had some opportunities to have the program led by somebody else. And so he, you know, he talked about it, I believe it was on the Monday or the Tuesday after the Oklahoma series, and then we just kind of worked out the plan and how we were going to, you know, make sure he talked to the team before anybody got released and had a chance to, you know, be a part of the senior celebration. So, it, you know, I'm very proud of him. It's a tough decision on his part, you know, after being here 15 years, cares a lot about our kids and the program, and he just felt it was the right time.
Gene Taylor with us here on The Game. How much interest has the job generated so far?
Quite a bit. You know, it's all really behind the scenes right now. You got a lot of people still coaching. So, you know, you got to, we've kind of formulated a list of people that we've identified as top candidates. Some have K-State ties, some don't. And really just kind of working the behind the scenes right now. And I think a lot of teams are in their either final season of baseball or going into their, you know, conference tournaments. And so we're going to kind of wait till those get over with before we have any really, we haven't really talked to anybody, to be honest with you. But we're just trying to put our list together, kind of one through probably seven or eight, and see how many have a strong interest to go from there.
You mentioned K-State ties, and I think for a lot of fans who have followed this closely, there are a handful of former coaches here, K-State connections that come to mind. How important will that be in making this hire, or how much of an advantage would that potentially be for a candidate?
You know, it's certainly part of it, but that's not the only thing. And if we can get a coach that, you know, really wants to come to K-State, feels that they can be successful here, you know, matches what we're looking for in terms of culture and fit, if they have K-State ties, it'll be a bonus, certainly. Or if they've been here before, if they don't, but they're the best candidate we feel can get our program going the right direction, then we'll certainly go with that. But, you know, it certainly helps because of familiarity with the program and maybe some things, but they're not a top piece of the decision.
What do you value the most? What are you looking for the most? Do you favor somebody with head coaching experience, for example, or does that not matter? What is most important to you?
You know, it would be nice to have a head coach or somebody that's had head coaching experience, just because it, you know, to take on a program, you know, like K-State, a Power 5 program, that if you've never had head coaching experience, it's not, there are a lot of things that go with that. If you've got somebody that's got head coaching experience, clearly it makes that transition a lot easier. One of the things that we're looking for is, has somebody been a part of a program that's turned it around or been of a part of a program that's consistently been successful? Maybe they've been successful, had a couple down years, and then brought the program back up. And so those are some things that we're looking for. Our coaches that have been part of programs that they've either built into winners or they've sustained as winners, or if they've come in and they've stepped back, they've built it back into winners, because that's kind of what we need, somebody that needs to understand how to get us back in the right direction in the Big 12.
Gene Taylor talking with us here on The Game. What do you see with this job as the biggest challenges for a new coach and the biggest advantages for a new coach?
Well, you know, I think the challenge is just we're, you know, the most northern school in the Big 12. And, you know, recruiting to that, I guess, is a piece of it. You know, we hear that all the time. But, you know, I think the biggest benefit right now is we've been there, right? It wasn't that long ago that we were, you know, close to making it to the College World Series. And I think our new facility, we're going to be able to really sell that as a huge recruiting tool, you know, for the next coach. So And I think just K-State tradition. I think you're at the games this weekend. You know, here we were last in the Big 12, and the weather was beautiful, and we had a tremendous crowd all weekend long. So there's a lot of support for our baseball program, and clearly I think coaches can understand that and know that, and I think that's a huge advantage as well.
No, you've made a lot of hires in your time, obviously going back to North Dakota State, but is there extra pressure when it's the first hire that you're making as the AD somewhere?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, looked at a little bit more closely by people to see, you know, what the process I go through. I don't feel any extra pressure. I just know it's important that we get the right guy, just like it would be for any hire that I've ever done. And, you know, just because it's the first one here, I just know that people are kind of looking at it a little closer than they might be if it was the third or fourth coach I've hired. But no, I just know we've got to get the right guy and get baseball, you know, like any other sports. We need to be competitive in the Big 12 and, you know, compete for Big 12 championships. And I think this program certainly can do that. We've done it before, and we need to find the right guy that can get it going again.
Gene Taylor with us. This question I know is not an easy one to answer in a short period of time. I'm sure we could do a lot on this, but what's your initial reaction as someone involved in college athletics to the Supreme Court decision to essentially legalize sports betting?
Boy, I'm nervous about it. You know, we know it goes on illegally. It's been going on for years. We know people bet on whether our games here or wherever. You know, football is probably the biggest one, but, you know, the Final Four, the NCAA tournament, I mean, it's just, I'm just really nervous about how do we regulate it, you know, and I don't know. I'm just really nervous about where this is going to go. Obviously, it's now up to each state. And so if Kansas were to pass a law to allow, you know, to allow sports betting, then we would deal with it at that point. Certainly, we're going to do, you know, talk to our folks in the legislature and help them understand our concerns at some point. But, yeah, I'm nervous about it. I really am. I think it adds an element to the game that we know that it's there. Maybe it becomes illegal. Maybe it becomes legal. Maybe it's better monitored, but we'll see.
Gene, before I let you go, we were just talking about this a little bit right before we had you on, but just having some fun in the summer with a topic today. But we were taking suggestions from people for a song to replace Sandstorm at the basketball games. I say this tongue-in-cheek, but are you taking suggestions? Are you open to suggestions for new songs?
I've seen some, but, you know, I'm such a old-school guy. Half the songs, I'm not even sure I know what they are. But, yeah, I was kind of like the Magic Carpet Ride guy, you know. I don't know, you know. We could throw that one out there.
I'm not sure if you know
what that one is.
Luckily, I used to play a video game that had that on the soundtrack, so I am all about that song. I'll add that to the list, and we'll put that in the pot as we continue with the show, Gene.
Awesome.
All right. We appreciate the time, as always, Gene. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Appreciate it, fellas. Bye.
There's Gene Taylor with us here on the game. You know that song, right, Mitch? Magic Carpet?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I think it's Steppenwolf, if I remember correctly.
I believe that's correct. We played on K-Rock?
No.
Why don't we play it on K-Rock?
I don't know.
Maybe Sunny? You think that fits on Sunny?
No. Too old. Too old for Sonny.
Okay.
Sonny is, maybe it goes as far back as 80s. That's about it.
Okay. Well, I do like that, and it's all because it was on the soundtrack to, like, Major League Baseball 2002, some game that I played on a 17-inch TV in my bedroom on the PS2 way back in the day. But I appreciate Gene Taylor being a good sport about that. When we come back, we will get to some of the suggestions you guys have on Twitter for Sandstorm alternatives. And we offer up some of our best. I think Mitch has the leader in the clubhouse. You're listening to the game. This is a new bed, huh?
It's the one I told you about before the show.
I like it. I like it. I like it.
You know where it's from, right?
Oh, yeah. Office Space. When they're beating up the printer.
Yes.
It is a printer, right? Printer copy
yes.
or whatever?
The print. I think it's just a
or computer.
Printer. No, it was a printer.
Okay. Either way, they're beating up some kind of office equipment. It's a fantastic, iconic scene in an iconic movie. So I definitely appreciate this song, although I don't think I can really name it. The FCC might have a problem if I named the song.
It's Ghetto Boys.
It is by the Ghetto Boys.
Song is called Still, S-T-I-L-L, Still.
Oh, that's what it's called?
Yes.
Okay. Just watch out for the chorus.
Oh, I made sure I cut it out.
Yes.
That's why I had to cut it off right there.
Okay, good. You can't be serious still before we're done. We want to dive into here potential Sandstorm replacements. I would first give a shout-out to a lot of people on Twitter who are not giving this up. That would include Austin, John, and Adam, who all replied, Sandstorm should replace Sandstorm. They are not going to let it go, and they're going to continue to fight until the bitter end. So, you know what? If you're going to stick to your guns, then go all the way. That's fine. But I think, realistically, you're going to have to start looking toward alternatives here. Gene Taylor's suggestion was Magic Carpet Ride, which I am a fan of. Again, Cascada, Every Time We Touch, was how this conversation got started in Kellis Robinette's Q&A. Mitch, why don't you unveil one of yours here? We will just weave in. I have queued up some of the suggestions from listeners that they gave us. I have some of my suggestions. We'll just weave these like a great tapestry for the next 10 minutes.
All right. I realize when it comes to the EDM, the techno, the hip-hop rap, all that stuff, I'm a little bit out of the fold with that one. If that makes sense, I don't really keep up with it too much. So I can't think of great recommendations.
I do happen to like some EDM, so I am
pro-EDM. I'll give you some like rock and roll slash metal type, but even some punk in here as well. For anybody that's heard the song Volbeat Warriors Call, I think it'd be at least a great one to throw into the mix for stadium music, so here is my first suggestion.
Ooh, it's intense.
Wait for the drop. Let's
Oh, yeah, I've heard this. Okay. This feels more to me like it would work at the beginning of the game, like as the team's running out.
It'd be a good one.
You just have that, and then the team comes out. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. What's this 3 days grace you have?
Well, you know this. You know this song.
Do I? Oh, let's start a riot. Not be the vibe in case they want to go to students. If it's a song is signing right.
It's funny because right as you said that, I was like, right as you're beginning to say that, I was thinking, yeah, this might not send the right message. But it would be still fun.
It would. It is fun. I want you to save your last one because it's my favorite, I think, of the bunch that we have here. So Kellis' suggestion in response to Every Time We Touch by Cascada was another Cascada song. My problem here is that Evacuate the Dance Floor seems to be a little bit too soft. It's a little too soft. Now, don't get me wrong. Wonderful pop song. Wonderful pop song. I do have a soft spot for just your top 40 pop. I like it from that aspect. I just don't think that it works in getting anybody pumped up. Is that fair to say?
Well, and like I told you before, if the goal here is not only add a great song, you know, something that everybody's going to like, but you also want to end the vulgar chants, you're probably going to want to add something that has lyrics to it.
Yeah.
Because it's also, well, you think about it. I mean, Sandstorm doesn't have any lyrics, so you're going to make your own, I guess, in some aspect. But when you're playing a song that already has lyrics, you're more going to lean towards singing along with the lyrics.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, here's one that would be an easy one to sing along with, and I'm stealing this actually from Oklahoma State. Now, this song was, I think it came out in 2011. I realize if you're trying to be real hip, this isn't necessarily the choice, but it still works, and I'm going to, as it goes along, show you what Oklahoma State fans did that I remember. I think it was from that 2011 game, and I thought it was super cool that did get the crowd involved. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. So, you know, good message there, but wait.
Yeah.
At the drop. OSU. But the whole crowd doing that, it sounds pretty cool. I liked it.
John, you're asking for trouble with that one.
Am I?
It's too easy to go with to continue the blank KU chant.
Oh, you're right. Blank KU. You're right. You're right. Okay. Well, that one's out. We've got to get rid of that one. I did not bother pulling this one up, Chase, but you got to laugh out of me. Chase suggests maybe the worst song that has ever been created.
I laughed a little bit at this one, too. It's
Red
good.
Solo Cup.
Toby Keith.
There might not be a person in music I dislike more than Toby Keith. And thus, when he goes for this particularly corny song, it's just awful. Just terrible. So that will not
I love
be going
you,
on the
Red
no,
Solo
stop,
Cup.
Stop. Stop.
No, you can't. You didn't think that would work. You don't think that would be a good one. I fill you up. You don't like it?
I guess it does say, let's have a party.
There you go. Now you're getting into it.
Oh, God, that guy. Dave says, Rage Against the Machine song at the end of The Matrix.
I'd be honest with you, I've never seen The Matrix. No, I haven't seen it in its entirety, so I don't know what that could be.
It's been too long since I've seen The Matrix. I remember seeing it like in 2003.
Well,
it sounds about right when it came out, so I don't know, and I haven't had time to go do my due diligence on that, Dave, so I'm sorry.
And Rage Against the Machine is pretty anti-government, so I would be shocked if K-State ever played anything Rage Against the Machine.
How about Chase coming back with another one, Dance With Somebody by Whitney Houston? You know what? That's a jam.
That is, yeah.
I don't think it works in this scenario, but if you were trying to be funny, Chase, I like that song. If you hear Dance With Somebody, you're going to start tapping your foot. You're going to start singing along. So, while I like the song, I don't think it works for getting the students pumped up. Now, here were a couple, because I got links, that I was able to queue up. And these are two that I did not know the name of these songs. I didn't recognize the name at all, but when I got to the point where the song drops, I recognize them. And I do think they're solid. These both come from, well, one of these comes from Clint. So Clint suggested this one right here, which is, it just says, Heads Will Roll, A-Track Remix, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. I mean, I like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, but this doesn't sound like them to me. I feel like they might play this.
They already do. They do play it at Bramlage.
Okay. So do you want to see that just move in? That's already, you're already in the building if your Heads Will Roll A-Track Remix. All they'd have to do is just pump you up into prime time. I think it's okay.
I don't know. I can't decide if I like it or not.
I think it's okay. I'm just not sure it has. I think that's like a single. If you wanted to go really safe, that's a single. But we're looking for some gap power at least. Perhaps a home run. But at least some gap power. Let's see, this suggestion came from Troy, and it was another one that I recognized once I got to about a minute 15 into the song. This is another one I feel like maybe I have actually heard of Bramlage before. What's your verdict on this?
I don't like that one as much.
Okay.
Just doesn't... I'm looking for something to get me pumped up, of course. That, for me, just doesn't do it.
We are, if you're just joining us, going through potential sandstorm replacements.
I don't mean to cut you off, but Clint had another one I want to play. But it was in recommendation to
Dean Wolf. Yes, Dean
Wolf
reference. We have that song just in the computer, don't we?
Yeah, so his suggestion is when Dean is just going off, he's killing it, this needs to be played. Which, you go back to the old wrestling days in the 90s, this was the Wolfpack, NWO Wolfpack. I made a suggestion to somebody from the marketing department at K-State that they need to come up with the Wolfpack, like a Wolfpack section. You know, run with the Dean Wolf thing.
The problem is, I'm not sure that really caught on. Like, everybody was crazy about it for a little while, but it didn't really seem to totally catch on. So I'm not sure if people like to embrace that enough for that to work. But it is clever, it is creative. So shout out to Clint for that. Now, Bob tweets us, I don't know what this song is. There's no artist given. The song is called In the Mood.
I have no idea.
You don't know? You want to Google it real quick, see what we come up with? In the Mood? If somebody else knows
Glenn
this.
Glenn Miller?
59457. Preview it, make sure it's okay, and we can bring it up on air. I just want to make sure that we're not going to get ourselves in some trouble here, Bob, with your suggestion. Man, we've got suggestions now from...
Okay.
We've got suggestions now from former players.
Real quick, you ready for this one? A little bit of a troll job here, but I love it here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I know this. Nice and soothing to listen to. This might work like at baseball in between innings, something like that. Ian Campbell, former K-State player, has chimed in by saying that the music at football is on average 30 years older than the current player's graduation date.
Yeah, accurate.
So he has, well, he says, if it was 1989, the current warm-up playlist would look like this. Peggy Sue, Blue Suede Shoes, I Walk the Line, Walking After Midnight, Mac the Knife. Hashtag give me the aux cord. I would probably be willing, Ian, to give you the aux cord. I would trust your judgment there. Reggie Walker, not the Reggie Walker currently on the team. Old Reggie Walker, he says, something in this era of music, for God's sake. So I think you can see the Bill Snyder players are a little bit tired of that Snyder soundtrack. But we have saved the best for last. Andrew WK is a fabulous band to play like some rah-rah, let's get pumped up music. Now, theirs is more geared towards let's get pumped up to party, but this is the type of song that I think would actually rally everybody. It's got lyrics. It's catchy. It's intense. I think it fulfills your criteria. How are you going to make a chant to this? How are you going to make a chant to this?
The place would get nuts.
I'm with you. I like this, and then what's their other song, too? They have another one with Party in the name that's really good. Party Hard.
Yeah, Party Hard.
Party Hard is a hit. Very good by Andrew WK. Can we just ride this to break?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get you Can't Be Serious next, including... Speaking of parties, we've got a new way for you to party and you Can't Be Serious.
You can't be serious.
Well, on the theme of partying, I don't want to leave out, I did not check the text line. We did get Beastie Boys, Fight for Your Right to Party. It's a potential Sandstorm song, not bad. Also, just Slayer. No song, just any Slayer.
That's perfect, actually.
Yeah, Slayer. I mean, that will get you fired up. It might make you want to kill somebody, but... And speaking of parties, again, I'm going to give you the new party craze. This is the new party craze sweeping the nation. It is called breeing. Have you ever heard of breeing in your life?
I don't think so.
Breeing spelled B-R-I-E-I-N-G. Okay, so apparently what's happening, this breeing craze... involves groups of people, usually women, taking MDMA wrapped in cheese. So MDMA, isn't that, is it basically Molly? I don't really get the difference, like ecstasy. MDMA, I think, is in ecstasy. So these drug parties where you wrap MDMA in cheese and just sit around and eat cheese. Metro News spoke to a 50-year-old businesswoman who said she regularly hosts MDMA-fueled dinner parties at her London home. So maybe this is only across the pond. Maybe the craze has not come over here to the USA. But it's out there. If you really want to party, just sit around and eat some cheese and get your ecstasy on.
That doesn't sound like my thing. But
oh, you don't like, you don't like cheese?
I love cheese. Fun fact, Chris Brown, he's on the game. Oh, he's on the call for some baseball games once in a while. He works for K-State. Hates cheese. cannot even stand it. He can't even eat food that touched cheese, which is just baffles me anyway.
I have seen him eat a piece of pizza before, though.
He'll make an exception for pizza, I suppose. All right, Argentina, they're on their way to the World Cup this summer. And the Argentina Football Association has distributed World Cup manuals to players on how to pick up Russian women. So it's a guideline. Basically, it's eight steps here. Not necessarily steps, but kind of guidelines you want to abide by to pick up a Russian woman. Like, number one is Russian girls, like any other girls, pay close attention if you're clean, you smell good, and if you go well-dressed. Russian girls hate boring men. Don't be negative. I mean, it seems like normal guidelines.
Yeah,
but
isn't
tell you
this
what,
just like, this feels like good advice across the board.
I'm not going to be able to go through it all. I tweeted it out to the Game KMAN Twitter account. You can check it out for yourself, the whole list.
Have we retweeted that Dennis Dodd article yet?
I have no idea. Did you?
No.
Because I didn't.
No. I'll try to. Especially for those of you listening to this on the podcast, which, by the way, you can find Apple Podcasts, Google Play, NewsRadioKMAN.com, the On Demand tab. We'll go retweet it from the Game KMAN right now, I swear, before I leave this building. Fun show today. We're going to be really short the rest of the week, but we will see you briefly tomorrow. Thanks for listening.